Right, well, good evening, everyone. Hope you're all doing well and having a good week so far. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Genesis chapter 31. Tonight we'll continue our journey through the Word and our study through the book of Genesis. And last week was a huge blessing. Praise God for everything He did at the conference. It was an amazing time of worship. Did everyone here get to go to the conference? I think everyone. Praise God. It was a sweet time of worship. So it was a blessing to be there last week. Next week is the first Wednesday of the month, so we're going to have our time of fasting, prayer, worship, and the afterglow. So just keep that on your radar. Next Tuesday at 7 p.m., we're going to start our 24-hour fast, and we'll finish that fast together Wednesday night at 7 after the time of worship, and we'll share a meal together. This Sunday is the first Sunday of October, so we'll be having communion this Sunday as well. So these are things to think about as we go about the rest of our week and just spend the rest of our week just in preparation for these things. Well, in the book of Genesis, we've been studying about... Who's been the main figure we've been studying recently in Genesis? Jacob. Yeah, we've been studying about Jacob, the second-born son from Isaac. And his story began back in Genesis 25. And we have seen from birth, he was named Jacob, or a heel catcher, or a supplanter, or a trickster. And Jacob has lived up to his name, hasn't he, right? From Genesis 25 to where we're at now, Jacob has lived up to this name. If you remember a couple of chapters ago, Jacob journeyed to the land of Paddan Aram, where he met up with his uncle Laban. And he did this to flee from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him. And while here in Paddan Aram, Jacob married not one, not two, not three, but four women, right? He married Leah, then he married Rachel, then he married Bilhah, and then he married Zilpah. And we saw this last week that Jacob had four wives. We also saw he had 11 sons and one daughter. His last son, Benjamin, is not going to be born for a few more chapters, so right now he only has 11 sons. And the last time we studied, we saw in chapter 30 that there was very much contention and dysfunction within Jacob's family, which isn't surprising because if you go back to when Jacob was born, all through his life, there's been contention and dysfunction. And we really looked at a lot of things in chapter 30, but we took away really what our roles as husbands and fathers are. And we learned many things of what not to do. Thank you, Jacob. Right? And we learned of many things that we should do. And we saw that Jacob was not able to adequately fulfill his role as a faithful husband. Why? Because he had four wives. And we see God's design of marriage is between one man and one woman. And if a man has more than one wife, he's not going to be able to give the affection and love due to his wife. God's design is for one man and one woman, and yet Jacob had four wives. And we saw the consequence of this. And it's a good reminder for us, sin will always keep us from being able to fulfill God's calling for our lives. So lastly, we saw in chapter 30 that Jacob made a deal with Laban. Jacob wanted to leave. At this point, Jacob had been with Laban for 14 years. But Laban wanted Jacob to stay, and he made a deal with Jacob. He said, if you serve me another 6 years, then you can have part of my flock. And so we saw that God blessed Jacob. The result was Jacob got many sheep who were strong and abundant. And the last thing we saw in chapter 30 was Jacob became exceedingly prosperous. So tonight we'll continue our study in chapter 31. Let's pray. Let's commit this time to the Lord, and then we'll get into this long chapter. Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord, for the privilege we have to read it. We thank you, God, for, Lord, all that we can learn from it, of your character, your nature, Lord, and how we can grow in our walk and our faith. And Father, we just ask that your Spirit would speak to us tonight, that you would teach us your ways and show us, Lord, Father, how we can just know you more, Father, and grow deeper in our walk and our faith with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I titled this message, Finish Well, because this is what we're called to do with relationships in our lives. And this is something we're not going to see Jacob do tonight. He will later. But we can learn a lot from Jacob and his shortcomings, right? But we're going to see just more dysfunction within Jacob and his family. So let's look at verses 1 through 2 to start. Now, Jacob heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed, it was not favorable toward him as before. So the first thing we see is Jacob hears word that Laban's sons, and we're not sure how many sons Laban had, but Laban's sons started to talk amongst themselves negatively against Jacob. And they were envious that Jacob had great wealth and prosperity. And they didn't really care, more than likely, about their father, but they were probably concerned that Jacob was taking what was going to be their inheritance one day. So they were very envious of what Jacob had. But they were talking about Jacob amongst themselves, and Jacob heard about this. And we see in verse 2 that even Laban was not pleased with Jacob. And his countenance or his favor changed toward Jacob. He also was envious of what Jacob had. And we can see right off the bat two things that are going to hinder us from finishing well in our relationships. Gossip and envy, right? Laban's sons were talking amongst themselves about Jacob. See, these men had a problem with Jacob, but who's the one person they didn't talk to? It was Jacob. And they had envy building up in their heart. Now, envy is the desire for something that someone else has. And envy comes from covetousness, right? It's not jealousy. Envy is different. And envy is something that's very dangerous. And it will do many things, but two things that it will do every time is envy will destroy relationships. Envy is a tool that Satan uses to cause strife, contention, and division. And we can even see in the New Testament, in the early church, there was envy that was taking place within the church, and it caused strife. It caused warring going on amongst the believers. And in James chapter 3, James addressed envy. He called it bitter. It's a bitter thing. And to have envy, he compared it to earthly wisdom. It's sensual. It's demonic. Envy will destroy relationships. And we saw the envy that Laban's sons had toward Jacob was stirring up to be something that was going to cause a lot of conflict. So envy will destroy relationships. Envy will also keep us from contentment. The opposite of contentment is envy, right? And we'll never be content with what God has given us if we have envy building up in our hearts. Now, Paul's a great example of what a heart that's content should look like. And he said in Philippians 4:11, he said, "In all things I have learned to be content." And he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, the danger of envy and the gain that is contentment. And he wrote this. He said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." This is the danger of envy, and this is the beauty of contentment. So maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling in your faith and being content with the Lord. Or maybe there's relationships in your lives that are not good. And envy may be the culprit of this. Let's not take the bait of envy from the devil. Envy will keep us from finishing well with others in our lives, in our relationships, and as will gossip and assumptions. Let's look at verses 3 through 9. "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you.' So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, 'I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks were speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me.'" So verse 3, the Lord speaks to Jacob again. Well, praise God for this. When I read this, I got very encouraged that the Lord would come to Jacob again and would speak with him. Because if you read about Jacob's life in the past 2 chapters, he made a lot of mistakes. He failed many times, and he sinned many times. But the Lord still came back to Jacob and spoke to him again. And praise God for this. We serve a God of second chances. You know, I think of Jonah as well. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it said, the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. The first time the Lord spoke to Jonah, he said, go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, no. And he disobeyed. But despite his shortcomings, the Lord was not done with him. And we see the same with Jacob here. Despite his shortcomings, the Lord was not done with Jacob. He still was going to use him. He still was going to speak with him, and he was still going to be with him. And praise God for his grace. And maybe you're here today and you think that you've blown it in ministry. You think that you're not fit to continue to serve the Lord. Maybe you've been in a discouraging season. And I just want to encourage you with this. We serve a God of grace. And the Lord was not done with Jacob. And we can take courage and heart that the Lord is not done with us either. And as he continued to use Jacob, the Lord wants to continue to use us. So the Lord speaks to Jacob again, and he tells him to return to the promised land. And he encourages Jacob that he's going to be with him. And so praise God again. The Lord not only wants to continue to use us, but he stays with us. Well, verses 4 through 9, Jacob meets with Leah and Rachel. We don't hear about Zilpah and Bilhah, just further showing that what Jacob did was very wrong. Not only did he commit adultery, but he used these women. But he calls Leah and Rachel, and he tells them the situation. He tells them that their father Laban was planning evil against him, that he was no longer favorable toward him. And he told them that the Lord told them they have to leave. Now, a few things to note here, and then we'll continue. Verse 5, I want you to notice, when we see Jacob talk of the Lord, look what he says in verse 5. He says, the God of my father has been with me. Now, many times, and most of the time, Jacob refers to the Lord. He refers to him in this way. He is the God of my father. But very rarely do we see Jacob say, he's my God or my Lord. Right? We just see him refer to God as the God of my father. And that's interesting to me, right? Now, Jacob had a relationship with the Lord, but it shows his relationship with the Lord was not where it should have been. And we can see in chapter 28, when the Lord appears to Jacob and speaks with him, Jacob almost treats his relationship with the Lord like a business transaction, right? What did he tell the Lord in chapter 28? Well, if you do what you said you'll do for me, then you'll be my God, right? And now we see him again here. Oh, he's the God of my father. We never want to treat our relationship with Jesus like it's a business transaction, like he's a business partner for us. We need to be in a relationship with him. And what do people do in a relationship? They talk to each other. Are we being in Jesus's presence? Are we treating him as our Lord, speaking with him in prayer daily, being in his word? Are we living in a right relationship with him? Because if we're not living in a right relationship with Jesus, we're not going to be able to live right relationally with the people in our lives. And again, I titled this Finish Well because this is how we're to be in our relationships. But if we're not right relationally with God, it's going to be very difficult to finish well in our relationship with others, especially other Christians. So what relationships in your life do you need to get right with? Right? Who do you need to get well with or finish well with? And maybe these people are not even in your lives anymore. But you never finished well with them, and maybe it requires you to go back and maybe reach out to those people and finish those relationships well. And you know, I think it's a timely message as we have communion coming up Sunday. What relationships in your life do you need to get right with? Well, last thing, Jacob shares the fact to Leah and Rachel that God had blessed him and protected him. And we have to give Jacob credit. Jacob knew that God was with him because he recognized how God was working. And I think this is a great lesson for us. We never want to lose sight of how God is working in our lives, how God is working in this city. You know, we had the conference last week, and it was an amazing time. But then Monday rolled around, and my mindset just went back to normal. Right? I'm just back in the normal grind, as if I had forgotten everything the Lord had done, all the testimonies we heard of how God was working throughout this continent. And it's very easy to get into this mindset of discouragement, where we forget what the Lord has done. Let's not forget what the Lord has done and what the Lord's doing. Jacob understood. The Lord was with him. And we need to acknowledge and praise God for how he's working in our lives. Let's look at verses 10 through 13. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So, very interesting set of verses here. Jacob, in talking to Leah and Rachel, he recalls a dream he had where the angel of the Lord appeared and spoke to him. Now, a few things we're going to look at here. First, who is the angel of the Lord? Who's the angel of the Lord here? Well, we see a difference in the encounters with the angel of the Lord here in Genesis 31 than we see with encounters with different angels throughout the Old Testament. For example, in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14, an angel appears to Zechariah and tells him, Thus says the Lord. And then he speaks the message of God. But here in Genesis 31, this figure, this angel of the Lord, doesn't say, Thus says the Lord. Instead, he speaks as if he is God. And in verse 13, what does this figure say? He says, I am the God of Bethel. Right? So this is not just a mere angel that we're dealing with here in Genesis 31. Now, it's easy to get caught up on the word angel in the English language, but in the Hebrew language, the word for angel is a word called malak. I'm saying that wrong, I'm sure. But this word, it could mean an angel, an ambassador, a king, a representative, or one who is sent, right? And I believe what we see here is a Christophany, or in other words, this is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus. Now, we know Jesus was sent to bear witness by the Father according to John 8:18. And so this makes perfect sense that this would be Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus is not a created being, and we don't want to think that Jesus is an angel. He's not an angel. He is so much higher than the angels, as Hebrews 1 says. But again, it's easy to get caught on this word in our English translations. But remember, Jesus existed forever. He has no beginning and no end. Remember the words that he spoke to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. He said, Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus has always and will always exist. And it shouldn't surprise us to see Jesus all the way back in Genesis. Because from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, Scripture is about Jesus. And Scripture points us to Jesus. Right? And so Jesus appears and he speaks to Jacob. And within this dream, we see Jacob was told what would happen with the sheep in chapter 30. So do you remember a couple weeks ago when we were in chapter 30? And we were reading chapter 30 and we were wondering what was going on? Right? Because Jacob had separated the flocks. And he did some weird stuff with the watering troughs. And he put some stuff in there. And we were like, what is Jacob doing? Is Jacob some super smart man? Is he altering the gene pool of these sheep? What is he doing? Well, we get some more clarity in this chapter. The reason Jacob had so many sheep was because God blessed him. That's it. That's the explanation right there, right? The Lord blessed Jacob with many sheep. He was blessing Jacob, and he was rewarding Laban for his deceit that he had originally deceived Jacob with. Remember, what you reap, you will sow. And Laban was sowing what he reaped, and God was blessing Jacob. Now, something important to notice in verse 13, when the Lord says, I am the God of Bethel, this should sound familiar because we first heard of Bethel back in Genesis 28 when the Lord first appeared to Jacob. And the Lord reminded Jacob of when he first appeared to him. And he was reminding Jacob, I am the same God who called you, the same God who promised you that I was going to bring you back to the land of your fathers, the same God who promised to bless you and protect you. I am the same God who you saw years ago, and I'm still with you. And I love how the Lord mentions Bethel, because Bethel came from an altar that Jacob made as a reminder of what the Lord had said to him. And the Lord's reminding Jacob of his vow that he made to the Lord. Do you remember what you said, Jacob? You said, if I will do all that I said, then you will make me your God. Well, I've done all that I've said. You need to make me your God. You need to follow me as your Lord. You need to return to your first love. And maybe you need to hear that tonight. Maybe you've been straying from Jesus and you need to return to him. You need to come back to your first love. Because again, if your relationship with Jesus is not right, then your relationship with your brothers and sisters more than likely are not going to be right either. And so how do we reconcile relationships in our lives? Well, the first step is getting right with Jesus, being in his word and in prayer and in fellowship with him. Well, let's look at verses 14 through 21. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, "Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches with God, which God has taken from our father, are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it." Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. Wow. So the dysfunction continues within this family. Verses 14 through 16, Leah and Rachel respond to what Jacob had told them, right? And it's very interesting. We saw last chapter, these two women were always contending with each other and not getting along, but here they have common ground. They're like, yeah, we agree with you, Jacob. Not only did they agree with Jacob, but they supported him. They said, whatever the Lord told you to do, do it. Well, that's great support right there, isn't it? But it's kind of interesting when you read verse 14. You get a little picture of what was going on in these women's hearts. In verse 14, Rachel and Leah, they said, "Are we not considered strangers by our father? He has sold us and completely consumed our money." So the relationship between Rachel, Leah, and their father Laban was not good. And you can tell by their response that they had anger and bitterness in their heart toward their father Laban, right? They said, "He considers us to be strangers. He sold us." But here's the issue that we see so far in this chapter. Laban's sons had an issue with Jacob. Jacob had an issue with Laban. Rachel and Leah had an issue with Laban. But no one went to Laban. Laban's sons didn't go to Jacob. And so you see failure to deal with these issues in their lives and in their relationship, failure to reconcile is causing more conflict and contention within this family. Rachel and Leah never spoke to their father. They never spoke to Jacob about their father. Instead, they're just saying, you know what? Forget him. We're strangers to him. He sold us. He took all our money. Yeah, let's get out of here. There was failure to reconcile these relationships. There was failure to take steps of reconciliation. And now they were going to not just leave, but now they were going to flee. So Jacob packs up all that he has and he sets out on this journey back to the land of Canaan. Now we're not entirely sure how far Canaan was from here, but a lot of people believe it was around 400 miles. That's a long journey. And they were going to begin this journey. Verse 19, very interesting verse we see here. Laban had gone to shear his sheep and Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. Now, why would Rachel steal Laban's idols? Well, we're not told. And scholars believe there could have been a number of reasons. Some people believe maybe she worshipped the idols. People believe maybe she believed these idols brought protection and fertility and she wanted to bring them with them. Some people believe she wanted to keep her father from idol worship. Now, whoever thinks that has not read this chapter or the context. Or lastly, and this is the one I tend to believe, she wanted to rebel against her father and get some revenge against him. Oh, let me take what's valuable to you. You took my money, let me take what's valuable to you. And I believe that was Rachel's intention in stealing these household idols. It's a lot of spite in someone's heart. It's a lot of anger. And you have to imagine this anger, this spite, this bitterness has probably been pent up for years. And we've seen this reoccurring throughout Genesis. We'll see it reoccurring throughout Scripture, and we see it reoccurring in our lives. Failure to repent or turn from sin breeds more sin. if we don't repent and turn from sin, it's going to breed more sin. And it's going to breed more sin. And it's going to breed more sin. Now, at our house, we have our garbage can outside, and if we don't take the trash out every day, it gets thousands of worms in it. And what happens if we don't deal with it? More come. And the situation gets a lot worse. But when we deal with it, we really limit how many are there. And it's the same with sin. If we repent and turn from sin, that's good. But if we don't, more sin is going to come. And not only did Rachel have anger and bitterness, she also had spite in her heart. And now she did something that's really bad. Not only did she stole idols. She stole idols. And Rachel should never have done this, regardless of her reason. And as we'll find out, bringing idols into the family will cause more contention and endangerment. Well, last thing, Jacob flees. He does not finish well with Laban at all. Does not leave peaceably. He flees. This is not what God told Jacob to do. What did God tell Jacob to do in verse 3? He said, leave. He didn't say flee. He told Jacob, leave, and I'm with you. But what does Jacob do? He flees. He doesn't finish well. And we'll see later the reason Jacob fled is because he had fear. And the fact that Jacob had this fear in his heart and was willing to flee and not make things right with Laban shows us there was a lack of trust in his heart in the Lord. And again, what we've seen recurring in this chapter, if we're not right relationally with God, we won't be right relationally with people, and we won't be able to finish well. Now, verses 22 through 42, a lot of reading. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done, that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harp. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you have surely gone, because you greatly longed for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me. And he searched, but did not find the household idols. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. All right, so lots going on in these verses, but wanted to read all those verses so you get the full narrative of what's going on. So after 3 days, Laban hears that Jacob had fled, and Jacob pursues him, more than likely with ill intent. However, we see God intervene on behalf of Jacob, and he comes to Laban in a dream, and he warns him not to do anything harshly to Jacob. Now, we see a common pattern here with Jacob. Jacob fails, and the Lord delivers him. Jacob fails, and the Lord delivers him. Jacob fails, and the Lord delivers him. And that's the pattern we've seen with Jacob's life. And it's easy to look at Jacob and say, Jacob, you're such a failure. How could you keep failing like this? But you know what? All we have to do is take a glance at our own lives. And we should be encouraged that despite how many times Jacob failed, the Lord still delivered him. The Lord still delivered him. Psalm 107 is a great chapter, and it talks about this for the whole chapter. And it says in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, right? Remember what the Lord has delivered you from. Remember that the Lord is your help and your deliverer. And again, maybe you need to be reminded of that tonight. The Lord is our help, and he's our deliverer. But we see Laban catches up to Jacob, and what does Laban do? He rebukes Jacob. This is not a courteous meeting. Laban is not seeking to understand what's going on, right? As soon as he sees Jacob, he goes out, guns blazing, and he rebukes Jacob. And he said, why did you flee from me? You could have left peaceably. And Jacob replies that he fled because of fear. And as we looked at earlier, fear of man will keep us from trusting in the Lord. And this situation that Jacob was in, like almost every situation Jacob has been in, could have been avoided if Jacob would have just trusted the Lord and finished well in the first place. But because Jacob didn't do this, he's in yet another situation. And the reason he's in this situation is because of fear. Don't ever let fear keep you from getting right with people in your lives. And the remedy to this fear Jacob had was just to remember the words God spoke to him. But Jacob didn't do this. Jacob could have remembered what the Lord spoke to him in Genesis 28. Jacob, I'm going to be with you. Jacob, I'm going to bring you back. Jacob, I'm going to bless you. Could have remembered what the Lord spoke to him in verse 3 of this chapter. Jacob, I'll be with you. Jacob didn't do that. Instead, he let this fear dominate his heart. And he acted on this fear. And because he had this fear, he didn't finish well with Laban. The remedy to fear is the word of God and remembering God's word to us. We don't want to be a people who live in fear. We want to be a people who trust in God's word. And so if there's fear in your heart tonight, go to the word of God. Let it wash away that fear. Let it be the cleansing agent that it is. And let it clean your heart. Because God doesn't want us to be a people of fear. He wants us to be a people who trust him in his word. But unfortunately, Jacob let this fear determine the decisions he made. Well, Laban also rebukes Jacob for stealing the household idols. And Jacob replies, he has no idea what's going on. He refutes this. Jacob said, I didn't steal your idols. And he even says this, whoever you find the idols with, kill them. Can you imagine if he found the idols with Rachel and Rachel was killed? Can you imagine how devastated Jacob would have been? The reality is, Jacob didn't know Rachel had them. And we can see a few things from this. When a husband does not carry out his role in showing the affection due his wife and loving her the way he should, in giving her the attention she deserves, there's going to be a disconnect in their communication. And I'm not justifying Rachel. What she did was wrong. But Jacob should have known about this bitterness and this spite in Rachel's heart. This should have been communicated as a couple, but it wasn't being communicated. And if you read chapter 30, you can see why it wasn't being communicated. Jacob was working all day, and he was with a different woman every night. But there was no communication taking place. Jacob should have known Rachel's desires in her heart. He should have warned her against them. He should have, you know, even rebuked Rachel in having these desires to steal these idols. Instead, he was unaware because of a lack of communication within his own marriage. And today we see something that's really true. There's wives and there's husbands unaware of conflict in their spouse's hearts because of a lack of communication. Right? And it applies to other relationships as well, right? We might be unaware of conflict in other people's lives because of a lack of communication. Well, we see back in the text that Laban searches for these idols. He looks in Leah's tent. He looks in Zilpah's tent, Bilhah's tent. Doesn't find him. Goes in Rachel's tent. And Rachel's hiding them. And what does Rachel do? She lies. Again, unrepented sin breeds what? More sin. And this shows us a valuable picture. Understand, if Rachel was found with these idols, she would have been killed. And this shows us a great picture. When you bring idols into your life, you bring harm into your life. If you bring idols into your walk with Christ, then you do harm to your walk with Christ.
And so this is kind of an off-topic application, but I think it's a good application we can draw. What idols are in your life today? And what idols in your life are causing harm to your relationship with others in your relationship with Christ? You know, men, what idols do you have in your life that's coming in between you and your marriage or you and your children? Oh, back to the text. Upon not finding these idols, Jacob now rebukes Laban. So again, this is not a courteous exchange, right? Laban is yelling at Jacob, and now Jacob's going to take his turn and start yelling at Laban. And we see in what Jacob says to Laban that he too, like Rachel and Leah, had pent up anger in his heart, probably brewing for the last 20 years. It's a long time to have this building up in someone's heart. And Jacob reminds Laban all the good that he did to him and for him, despite the mistreatment he received. And this shows us Jacob not only had fear in his heart, but anger. And both these things Satan will use to drive a wedge in our relationship with God and others. And both these things must be dealt with in order to finish well with people. Jacob would not be able to finish well with Laban until these things were dealt with. And as we have communion coming up Sunday, we say it every time we do it. Is there someone in your life that you need to get right with? Do you have something against someone? And if so, you need to deal with it. And we share this before communion. If you have any sin, you need to repent of it. If you have any relationships that need reconciliation, you need to reconcile. We don't want this to build up, because if it does, this is what happens. It causes more conflict. And that's what we were seeing with Jacob. One thing Jacob did do good, though, here, was he acknowledged God's hand and God's protection in his presence during the last 20 years. Well, let's look at our last few verses, verses 43 through 55. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these, my daughters, or to their children whom they have borne? Now therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jegar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me this day." Therefore its name was called Galeed. Also Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me." Then Laban said to Jacob, "Here is the heap, and here is this pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. So we see some reconciliation here. I think there's still some bitter undertones going on. I don't think everything was dealt with. But we do see some reconciliation nonetheless. Now, I want to draw your attention. I think Jacob really humbled himself here. Look at what Laban says in verse 43. What a wild thing to say. Laban says, "Oh, these daughters are mine. Your children, they're mine. Your flock, they're mine." This is what Laban says to Jacob. But then Laban says, "But let's make a covenant." And what does Jacob say? Jacob could have easily have said, "Are you crazy? This stuff is mine. This stuff doesn't belong to you." No, what does Jacob do? He says, "Okay, let's make a covenant. Let's reconcile. Let's have peace." And reconciliation requires humility. Without humility, we're never going to have reconciliation. But we're called to have reconciliation in our relationships. And Jesus modeled this for us the best. How? Because he reconciled us to the Father through his death on the cross for us. And Jesus humbled himself to come. Humbled himself and reconciled us to God. And not only this, but in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And of course, the ministry of reconciliation is to preach the gospel, but it's also to make peace with people in our lives as much as depends on us, and to finish well. And again, in order for Jacob to finish well, he had to lay his anger aside. He had to lay his pride aside. He had to lay his fear aside. And there needed to be reconciliation. Things had to be dealt with. And they did. They set up a pillar. And the pillar served two purposes. It was a witness. And it was a boundary, right? And that's okay sometimes, right? Boundaries are not always a bad thing. And I love what it says, though. It says it was a boundary. And they were not allowed to cross over it for harm. right? They never said, all right, you're never allowed to be in my life again. It said, no, you're just not allowed to come over here to harm me. So they set up this pillar as a witness and a boundary. And last thing we see, this chapter actually ends on a high note. We see there's a meal share, right? Jacob offers a sacrifice. There's a blessing. And Laban returns to his place in peace. And so we see there was some reconciliation that took place. What's unfortunate was how long it took for Jacob and Laban to get to this place. And look at the damage it caused because they waited so long. Look at Rachel and Leah's heart. Look at the actions of Rachel and that she would be so spiteful to steal idols. Right? Look at how Laban and Jacob would talk to each other. Just go back to when they first met. How courteous and nice it was. And now they're yelling at each other, rebuking one another. But once they reconciled, there was peace. And I'll conclude with this, and then we'll split into our groups and pray. We see that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He wants us to be at peace as much as depends on us with the people in our lives. And if there's relationships in our lives that need reconciliation, we need to reconcile. And we're reminded of many things in this chapter. Right? We're reminded not to be given over to envy, fear, or anger, because these things will keep us from reconciliation. We saw we have to be in a right relationship with Christ to be right relationally with others, especially other Christians. And we saw if there are relationships in our lives that are not right, we need to seek to make them right, as much as depends on us. There's only so much we can do, but we want to finish well in our relationships here. And we want to be well in our relationship with Christ. Amen?